Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it hard, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney,
but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had. And now it is time for our very distinguished guest, Sandy Woolman. He is the co-founder of the Westchester Angels. I've known these guys and girls for a long time, and he's also on the board of the Angel Capital Association, which I don't even know what that is, but it sounds pretty important. And he's a driving force behind angel syndication. So welcome again. I guess when we talk about angel investing, maybe you could talk a little bit about what that is for our audience who's not familiar with it.
So angel investors, if there's a startup that is looking to scale, to exit, that's suitable ground for an angel investment. Angels are typically the first group of investors that a startup will contact after friends and family. We take the most risk. We have the most fun help building these startups. Most angel groups around the country share their toys in a sandbox, and that's what makes it so much fun. In my role at the Angel Capital Association, which is the umbrella organization over the entire angel space, syndication works for angel groups because we all share our toys willingly. We share deal flow. We share due diligence efforts. Not necessarily the same for our cousins upstairs, the VCs and the PEs. It's a fascinating space. We keep learning. I'm hitting almost 67 years old, and I still keep learning about business. And that's what makes it so much fun.
You talked about venture capitalists, the VCs.
Well, sometimes it's a fine line.
And also private equity. What makes angels different? Do you take a piece of somebody's company, or do you just want a return on the investment?
No, and that's a good question. Thank you, Elizabeth. Angels prefer to invest. There's three different methods that are used for angel investing. The most preferred is an equity investment where we would invest X amount of dollars at a valuation of whatever that happens to be. There's convertible notes with a little more variables, and that really pushes the valuation down the road. And then there's a new document that is flooding the entire angel space called the SAFE document. It was created by our friends, the Y Combinator in California. It's a less expensive way for startups to get funding from angel groups. Highly controversial, not a lot of rights sometimes for angels, but that's all part of the fun.
Angel investments are pretty tricky. And I recently saw a statistic that said 90% of angel-backed startups fail. So why do people keep doing this? I mean, you're like kind of like betting, right? You're putting money into startup companies and you don't know what's going to happen.
That's 100% right. On average, across the country, 2 out of every 3 angels' investments are going to fail. Some fail sooner, some fail later, but 2 out of every 3 are going to fail. There's 2 different angles on angel investing. The first one is angel investors should create a well-diversified portfolio of investments where 2/3 are going to fail. A handful are going to give you a small return, either 1 to 2, 3, 4x. We're all looking for that 50 to 100 banger. And that's true for our friends upstairs in the VC world. You know, the lines between VCs and PEs and angels, that's getting blurred. We see VCs down in our space. In the angel space, we also see angels participating in later rounds of investment.
So what experience did you have in your business career that made you want to be an angel investor?
I've had a lot of business experience. I've experienced the good, the bad, and the very, very ugly in a very notorious industry, the garment center in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I learned a lot of things about running a business through failure. You know, we did our business really, really well. Our business suffered from poor legal and accounting advice. So from there, I started a nonprofit years after that experience to help small business owners not make some of the same mistakes I made in business. And that led, we actually started to find startups businesses that were suitable for angel investing, and that's how the Westchester Angels was started.
Great.
It looked like one of your websites, you're teaching other people how to be angel investors. Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of angel groups, we provide education. The Angel Capital Association provides really fantastic education for angel investors. Some angel groups provide their own education. We're tiptoeing into that by providing a lot of education. And when we onboard a new member, going back to the risk, we have three requirements. It's a small fee. Our management is not compensated. We spend our time to help startups succeed. You have to fill out our three-page document. And then we have what's called the PLT test, which is a very sophisticated test based on AI. No, it's called the pizza lunch test. We take you out for lunch. And we do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, we want to make sure our new members understand the riskiness of these investments. Mm-hmm. In order to become a member of any angel group, you have to be an accredited investor. You have to meet some financial requirements. That's an SEC rule, not our rule. And we also want to find out about the background of our members so we could tap them on the shoulder when we're in due diligence with a startup that is in their area of expertise.
That's really great. Do you remember your first angel investment?
Oh, God, do I. Oh.
So how did you feel, though, when you made that investment? Were you optimistic? Were you oblivious? What?
You know, we were pretty terrible when we started. My partner and I, Jeff Lair, started the Westchester Angels not knowing anything. And we treated ourselves like a startup. We were in a tremendous learning mode. And I started to invite myself to angel group meetings in New York City, a robust space of 100 accelerators, incubators here on the island of Manhattan alone, a lot of really terrific angel groups.
So accelerators are what? They're companies that kind of house or support startups,
yeah.
Right?
So the lines between what an accelerator and an incubator are getting blurred, but basically these are organizations that help startups, that educate startups so they can go. Some make investments as well, but they're educational groups that are organized either with mentorship-based or education-based education for startups so they can learn, so they can navigate growing a company and dealing with funding professionally.
Is it hard to get into an incubator or an accelerator?
It depends. Some of the incubators, they have a 10% acceptance rate. We support Element 46 in Westchester. We give back to our community. Element 46 has tremendously grown in the past couple of years, and the startups are getting better and better because they're learning.
Is there one really important factor that you look for if you're going to approve somebody to come into your incubator or accelerator?
Well, for incubators and accelerators, they have their own requirements for startups. Some are based strictly in certain industries. And that's what makes New York such a mecca for startups, is there's colleges, you know, NYU, you know, City College. They all have incubators. Mm. They're all helping startups become educated so they can navigate the difficult road that they're going to have ahead.
So would you suggest if somebody has a startup to go through the list of incubators and find the best match and approach them first?
Especially if you're a young startup, a young founder out of college, maybe without a lot of business experience, you need to get educated.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's very important to get some mentoring.
And the founders that are successful usually know what they're good at and they know what they're not good at. And they surround themselves with professionals in the areas that they're not good at. Especially if you're coming maybe from the medical community or the scientific community, you may have a great idea. It may solve a lot of problems out there, which is typically what angels invest in, but it doesn't mean you're going to get funded. You have to surround yourself with people in the areas that you're weak in.
I think that's great advice, and having that self-awareness is really, really important. Let me ask you about your first exit. Now, by exit means that you invested in a company, they were successful, somebody bought them. Tell me about that.
Well, our first exit opportunity was in a company called Acrolis. And what do? They scan documents. How boring can you get? Not.
Did they use AI?
Well, they were pioneers in AI years back. They started in the Medicaid space. And during our due diligence, they pivoted to the small business lending space. So if you're a small business lender and you want a loan or a line of credit, you have to upload your Chase bank account, your tax returns. These are all standardized documents. It goes to their back office outside of New Delhi, which we actually did due diligence on their back office in New Delhi. I did a lot of business in India. I had my friends check them out. And they use a combination of AI and manual elbow grease to return all the financials to the small business lender, and it saves them 45 minutes to an hour for each application. That's a lot of money for small business lenders, and especially if you're considering 5 or 10,000 applications a month. And now they've pivoted into the massive mortgage industry. It's the same documents. So a couple of years back, a PE firm invested a ton of money in them.
A PE firm being?
A private equity firm.
Right.
At a really high valuation. And they wanted to clean up the cap table or the investors that have invested previously. So they gave our investors an opportunity to exit at an 18 and a half banger in two and a half years.
So that's 18 multiple of 18 times their investment.
Right. So if you invested 10 grand, you get 185 back. Not a bad day at the office.
So if you want ultimate freedom in your career, that's how you get
it. So I just want to point one thing out. Every single show now that Richard and I do, we talk about artificial intelligence or AI. And what we're finding and what you just really elegantly pointed out is it doesn't replace you. It just makes you so much more productive. It puts you miles ahead of the next guy doing the same thing you're doing because you're using AI to get you 3/4 of the way to the finish line, right?
AI is infiltrating the angel investment space from the inside out and from the outside in. Every other startup that angels are looking at now has an AI platform to solve some sort of problem. And in addition, angel groups are tiptoeing into using AI for due diligence efforts. The concern is if you engage an AI platform, is this information confidential and secure? Because we're dealing with confidential information
The
startups, and we want to maintain that integrity.
You put it out into the training rules of ChatGPT, and everybody can see it. I always worry about that.
Of course.
For intellectual property. I mean, we don't put any of that stuff, our clients' molecules, if they have a new molecule that they're trying to protect and you put it into ChatGPT, somebody else is looking for something similar, it's going to pop right up, right?
So exactly
you
right.
have to be very, very careful with that stuff.
AI is the next big thing.
Right.
Personally, it scares the heck out of me because I don't know if I'm talking to a human being or a bunch of software. You know, that's why we insist startups pitch to us in person so we could shake your hand and look you in the eye and get a good vibe from you as compared to getting zoomed in. But we do keep an open mind.
So what happens when the investor becomes a headache?
Well, only my beautician knows about my gray hairs, and she keeps that confidential. You know, it's interesting. We do a lot of due diligence compensate for the risk that's involved should they make it through the process. And every so often, we invest in a stinker. We've had that experience, and sometimes you could do all the due diligence in the world and still have challenges with the founders. Primarily, angel groups will invest in strong teams that are solving a problem. We'd rather invest in an A-plus team with a B-plus or B product or platform as compared to a great platform with a not a good team. But yes, we've experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've had startups do some very bad things with the investment dollars.
Well, give me an example.
Oh, well, we invested in a company, and we need not mention names.
No, we don't.
No, but they were solving a problem in the aerospace industry. And we invested in one of our sister partner angel groups to 6-9 months of due diligence on, and they were really solving a problem. It was a husband and wife team, which all due respect here to the Gearhearts.
I think I may have seen this deal, but go ahead.
All due respect, you know, a married couple leading a startup adds more risk to an already risky investment. If the marriage fails, what happens to the startup? You know, so that's always a lot of fun. But
I don't know if we ever thought of that.
Well, the first thing I ask a husband and wife team that's a startup, I ask them, have you lost your mind? Yeah, it's hard enough staying married sometimes, let alone going into business with them. I mean, really, come on, you know? I mean, yeah, I can imagine the conversation at the Christmas table. Anyway, but they turned out they went silent after we gave them money. The round was a lot of money with different angel groups. They went silent. We found out they did some bad things with the money, and we turned it over to our attorneys.
Can you say anything they did with it, or is that confidential?
They didn't do anything they should have. They lied. I mean, when you talk about horrible lies about the wife being in a car accident, having cancer, that was untrue. They were just bad people. And out of 100 investments, you're going to run into one or two crooks, even though if you do strong due diligence, that's part of the risk of the investment here.
That's a wonderful business lesson, though, is that there are some things that you just cannot foresee, and all of the planning in the world doesn't shield you from these crazy results, right? Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah. And you know, Richard, we've had this conversation before. I don't care if you're in a lifestyle business or a business that you're scaling to exit, it's about dealing with jerks. You know, you're going to hire somebody. One bad apple can stink up the whole company. You got to get rid of that person. You want to scale your business to the point where you don't have to deal with customers that are jerks. And for the angel investment community, we have a no jerk rule. If you can't join our group because you won't pass the PLT test. And if my nose doesn't smell the stink, somebody else will. And that's really the unofficial rule of building a business is Jeff Bezos didn't scale Amazon by himself. He surrounded himself with professionals that were good in areas that he was weak in. And he got rid of the jerks right away. And, you know, all these really successful startups that are starting from, you know, the kitchen table sometimes, the unofficial lesson in about business is dealing with jerks.
Well, that's a good note to leave on. We have to take a commercial break, but we'll be right back. We're with Sandy Woolman on Passage to Profit. This is Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. Stay tuned. We have intellectual property news coming up. And then after that, the highly esteemed Secrets of the Entrepreneurial Mind. You don't want to miss that. So we'll be back right after this.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Are you running a small business with two or more employees struggling to find affordable health insurance? Well, help is just a call away. Whether you're a restaurant owner, retail store manager, or a gig worker with staff, we've got you covered. Get quality health insurance plans starting as low as $120 a month. Our custom comparison tool finds plans tailored specifically to your business. We know it can be tough to find the right coverage. That's why we're here, to make the process seamless and stress-free. Our plans include health, vision, and dental coverage, all at unbeatable rates. Call the Small Business Health Insurance Hotline now. We'll compare top providers to get you the best deal in one quick phone call. Don't wait. Secure the benefits you and your employees deserve today. Call now. Rates may vary based on location and coverage options. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. That's 802-491-2084.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Our special guest today, Sandy Woolman, who has been talking about angel investing. And we're going to talk a little bit more with Sandy now before we get to intellectual property in the news. And I have a question for Sandy. I think it would be so cool to be an investor because you see all the new stuff coming, all these companies that are starting that are going to be products of the future. Is there anything really impressive that is coming down the pike, coming through your organization?
Well, you know, we primarily invest in startups that are solving problems. You know, we have a bunch of portfolio companies that are really doing really well that are solving problems. There's a really exciting company that we invested in last year. We've made several different investments as a group. It's a company called Lollyware. And it really exemplifies the type of startups that angels look for. So what Lollyware does is they're trying to replace plastic with derivatives of seaweed plus their secret sauce. But they're not selling just the straws or the nice forks and spoons. They're selling pellets. And it goes into existing extrusion or a machinery that produces the straws and the nice forks and spoons. And it disappears. It's a beautiful startup. A lot of history to the startup. But those are the types of problems that investors, angel investors, want to encounter to due diligence, solving real world problems.
Sandy Woolman, co-founder of the Westchester Angels. I've known these guys and girls for a long time, and he's also on the board of the Angel Capital Association. Where can people find you?
Usually, I am not only the managing director, but I'm the director of worrying for the Westchester Angels. I'm the worrier. My partner is the director of positive thinking. We have one director who is the director of startup homeland security. When there's a problem, we send him in to fix the problems. And we have two voices of reason. But if you need to contact me, it's really simple. I try and respond to all emails. Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, at westchesterangels.com. If you're a listener to the Passage of Profit or any other organization that hears this, just say you listened on a Passage of Profit. And I'd be happy to try and answer every email that I get.
Oh, that's great. That's so nice. May you be inundated with yes. New project proposals.
I look forward to that problem.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.